Here's a question for you. How much time should you be spending on planning?
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast to episode number 122. How much time should you spend planning? That is the question that I am asking today. If you want to see the show notes or the corresponding blog post for this episode, please go to paulminers.com/122, because I have a few links and things that you might be interested in checking out after hearing what I have to say today. And really, this question that I'm asking today came about because just last week I was chatting with a client who we have a regular weekly call, and he said he'd read somewhere, he didn't remember where, but he'd heard this statistic that you should spend around 10% of your time planning. And I don't know if that's a good number or not, but my initial thought after hearing this was, yep, yeah, sounds reasonable. 10% sounds like a reasonable guideline. And I couldn't really say how much time I actually spend planning. My initial assumption was, yeah, I would say I spend at least 10% planning, if not more. So after the call, I actually opened up Timing on my computer. Timing is the app on the Mac that I use to track my time. And conveniently, one of the projects I have in Timing is called Planning. And the way Timing works is it looks at the apps that you use, like Asana, for example, or my calendar. And so I was able to, looking at the percentage of time in planning, I was able to get a pretty good estimate of how much time I spend planning. And so I looked at the total time for that planning category, and I divided this by the total time spent on all of my work categories over the last 6 months. And you want to know what my average was? You want to know? 6.7%. Now, this surprised me a little bit. I thought I was a pretty hardcore planner. You know, being a productive, organized sort of guy, I thought I must be at least at 10%. And I was kind of disappointed. I was like, wow, that seems low. Maybe it's a good thing. I'm still not sure. And so, yeah, I think it's a really interesting idea to explore this idea of looking at your planning habits and consider how and when you plan your time. You know, are you planning enough? And what's the point in planning in the first place? And so firstly, I do feel that a lot of people fall into the trap of not planning enough, or worse, not planning at all. People that are really busy like to make the excuse that they don't have time to plan, for example. And I get it, right? Planning can feel like a chore for some people because you have to sit down, you have to think and plan without actually doing or achieving anything meaningful. However, the time invested in planning now will save you massive amounts of time later. You're kind of banking up that future productivity. It's like making small deposits into a high interest bank account, and those savings will grow so that when you withdraw the money later, you're getting out more than you put in. That's the point in planning. Otherwise, if you put time into planning and it's not helping you further down the line, obviously it's a waste of time. But even without thinking about the time benefits, for me personally, planning out work and projects makes me feel more organized. It takes me from that state of, oh my God, how am I going to get all this done? How am I going to achieve this in time? To, okay, yeah, I got this. I'm confident I can do this. And whenever I feel stressed, my default is to plan. If I plan and I work out when I can do everything, stress goes down and productivity goes up. And so I consider myself to be more of what I would call a real-time planner. And if you want, go back and check out my blog post, Being Organized as a Mindset. There's a link in my show notes at paulminers.com/122. Being Organized as a Mindset. And in that post, I talk about doing planning and staying organized in real time. And so my planning takes place all the time, rather than sporadically throughout the month or the year. While I set aside time to plan at the end of the day and the week, a lot of my planning happens in real time as I'm working. So for example, when I finish a call with a client, I immediately work out what the next action for that client or that project essentially is. What's that next action? So maybe I have an action item I need to go and do, something I need to work on. Or maybe the client needs to send me a document, in which case I'm waiting for them, but still my next action is to follow up with the client. In either case, that action is added to Asana, where I manage my tasks and plan my projects. And if it's an action that requires more than maybe 15 minutes of my time, I'll even block out time on my calendar to work on that. And if you haven't seen my articles on and my video on time blocking, check that out. And so all of this happens immediately following the call. I don't wait until the end of the day to do this. It happens almost in real time. This episode of the Paul Miners Podcast is sponsored by Gusto. Now, if you run a small business like me, or you know someone who does, you probably know that business owners have to wear a lot of hats. And some of those hats are totally great. For example, making this podcast. But some, like filing taxes and running payroll, for example, are not so great. And that's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits and even 401ks for your team. Now, those old-school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the modern way that small businesses work, but Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. Listeners can get their first 3 months free when they file their first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/pool. That's gusto, gusto.com/pool. And thank you, Gusto, for sponsoring this episode of the Pool Miners podcast. And so my end of day planning is slightly different. I go through a work shutdown checklist, and this is as per Cal Newport's suggestion in his book Deep Work. I'll look at my upcoming tasks for tomorrow, and I'll reconcile this with my calendar to make sure that I've blocked out enough time for the things that I'm going to do. So it's sort of a slightly higher level of planning, because I'm not looking at the small, like, subtasks, like next actions, but more, what are the higher level, just tasks, really, that I need to get done tomorrow. And then I have a similar routine at the end of the week. On a Friday, I look at what I need to do over the next 7 days, but this is with more of an emphasis on projects rather than tasks. Where my real time and daily planning is more granular, you know, what do I need to do next for this client or this project, weekly planning is more project focused. And this is so I can link my daily tasks with the projects I'm working on. And on a monthly or a quarterly basis, I'll then review what projects I need to work on in order to achieve my annual goals for the year. So you see, your planning needs to reflect the time frame that you're thinking about and kind of where you're at. So if we go back to the beginning, real-time planning is sort of your next actions, your tasks. Daily planning, which generally happens at the end of each day, is the tasks you need to complete tomorrow. Weekly planning, which maybe you do at the end of the week, is what projects do you need to work on the next week. And then monthly or quarterly planning at the end of the month or quarter, what you might look back and firstly reflect what went well this month, and then what projects do you need to work on next month or next quarter in order to achieve your annual goal. And then finally, on an annual basis, how did you go this year and what do you want to achieve next year? And so you see, the previous stage supports the later stages. The point of the weekly plan is so that we can make sure we're on track for our monthly plan. The point of the monthly plan is so we can make sure we're on track for the year. And how long you spend planning during each of these phases is likely to change as well. So where my daily planning maybe takes a few minutes, at the end of the day, and in real time I'm taking just a few seconds, weekly planning is more likely to take 15, maybe even 30 minutes for some people. And annual planning may even take a few weeks, because you definitely don't want to rush those decisions that you're making at the end of the year about what you want to achieve next year. And so I think the mistake a lot of us make is that we spend a lot of time planning at the start of the year. You know, what do we want to do this year? How are we going to spend our time? What do I want to achieve? Then we get to work, and because we're so busy with our heads down working, we quickly forget about the big plan. But the purpose of those daily, weekly, monthly planning sprints is to take an opportunity to step back and bridge that gap between where we are now and where we want to be by the end of the year. And so it's a chance to look back and, you know, ask, am I heading in the right direction? Am I on track? And so my big takeaway from this episode is to just plan more. Even if you think you already plan enough, plan more. It really cannot hurt. I thought I was spending at least 10% of my time planning, but was surprised to learn that I wasn't. And so I think I could definitely afford to spend a little bit more time planning, because it is so worthwhile. So make sure you have an annual plan, that you break it down into those smaller weekly goals and tasks. Keep your plan up to date in real time, and this helps you to avoid that need to catch up later. And if you don't have a system already, see if you can find a way to track your planning time using tools like Timing or Rescue Time. I think it does a great job of just highlighting just how much time is spent on these really crucial activities. So, let me know what you think. If you have any thoughts, feedback, planning ideas, and routines of your own, please let me know in the comments at paulminers.com/122. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners podcast. Thank you very much for listening to the Paul Miners podcast. Two quick things before I go. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback, please leave me a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to me because it helps the show to get discovered so that more people can benefit from the content. And I would love your help getting the show out there. So please, if you have a minute, I would love a review on iTunes. And on that note, if you want to give me any more feedback, you can always reach out to me via my blog, leave me a comment, or if you're on my newsletter list, you can respond to any of my emails as well. I really do love hearing from my listeners and hearing what you want to learn about and getting your feedback. Number two, if you want to connect with me on a more regular basis, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP to learn about my membership options and how to get access to my private Slack community. This has typically been reserved for my high-end customers in the past, but I've opened it up for the first time. So head on over to the website, paulminers.com/VIP, to learn how you can get access to my private Slack channel, where you'll also get access to my complete library of book summaries as well. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners podcast.